You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today and, even better, a great weekend. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And hoping that, too, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You can use a shortcut. Go to Firefox, Google Chrome, whatever. Time for an Awakening. And put in babaoshi.net. BABAOSHI.net. And once again, programs that are dated and titled. And they're up to date. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. You know it. See you later. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. I've been announcing programs, but they're still being held in abeyance. So basically, just this program and Brother Elliot this evening, 8 p.m. Time for an Awakening is at 8 p.m. this evening. And with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, get everything you need from American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba is ready to take our people again, once again, on a tour of a lifetime, trip of a lifetime. He's going this, well, May 24th to June 5th to Ghana, July 20th to the 30th to Rwanda, November 16th to the 27th to Tanzania, December 24th to January 4th, 2024, Azania. March 29th to April 9th, Liberia. July 11th to the 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd to Kemet. And then April 1st to April 11th, Senegal and Gambia. Brothers and sisters, go to the website. There is information about owning land, investing, repatriation. Brothers and sisters, this is the Pan-African website, africaforTheAfricans.org.
All the information is there. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habesha. Brothers and sisters, Habesha's got their organic fest coming up Saturday, June 24th from noon to 8 p.m. 477 Windsor Street in Atlanta, 30321. And of course, Habesha has an outstanding program, and its mission is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. The many programs that they have is Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Golden Growers, Urban Green Jobs, and the there we go. So, brothers and sisters, Habesha Incorporated.org. They started the Kashi Project. It was unveiled last year in October. Beautiful buildings constructed and very just, man, I want to go to Ghana just to see that. Really, I really do. You see how the Kashi Project has been unfolding and what's happening with it. That's great. That's fantastic. Habesha Incorporated.org. LEDGE. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They deal in the four areas of human existence that are vital to human beings, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries, over 170 employed, and over 260 members. Brothers, you can be a member of the LEDGE group. In fact, if you are a member, you can buy land in Tanzania. You can buy land. $250 an acre. $250 an acre. Get you 4 acres. You know, it's a lot of land. All right. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated.org. Habesha has this conference coming up in July. July 7th through July 9th in Ghana. But it'll be on Zoom, so you can take advantage of it. It's the Power Conference. Economic, military, industrial, educational, agricultural, technologies, family and community and nations, and spiritual. Abibi Atumi, the first annual Abibi Atumi Conference for Black Power, for African Power. African Power. Because we ain't black. That's today's program. In fact, we ain't black. African Power. Abibi Atumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. It's my pharmacy. Brothers and sisters, give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. If you are taking a lot of drugs and prescription drugs and how you feel, brothers and sisters, give him a call. It is the alternative, a positive alternative for your health and for your longevity. Also, too, if you want to give him an email, go to smifarmacy@gmail.com. smifarmacy@gmail.com. Smifarmacy. smifarmacy. Jackson Water Rescue. The Moses West Foundation.org. Brothers and sisters, go to the Moses West Foundation.org. Brothers and sisters, I can't speak enough about how important, of course, water is to us as human beings, to this planet. And of course, what has happened is the ecology has been messed up by some evil ass people, and they're so selfish and greedy they didn't heed the words of scientists to change behaviors. They continued on. And I've said on this program many times, I'm sitting down at the fire, I was a firefighter. Sitting down at the firehouse table reading an article, lengthy article on global warming back in the 80s. And it said that if you don't do this, these are the things that are going to be happening. And they have manifest. They are happening. And now they're trying their best. And still, those who are in control don't want to have you believe that it doesn't happen. It should be denied. Brothers and sisters, the Jackson Water Rescue Program on MosesWestFoundation.org. Go to it, listen, and watch the information, but more importantly, donate. Okay. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here. I'm Ralph David Abernathy. And, of course, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, they have vegan food, along with the delicious fruit drinks, smoothies, and health food, and items of health food, and everything like that. Wadada's. Give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Yeah, sorry about that, family. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia, like I said, you need to check her out if you're in the Greenbrier. If you're in the Atlanta area, at the Greenbrier Mall. Nice, beautiful store. Good amount of space. Much space, much more space than she had. But she has access to the downstairs at the mall where she's having book signings and reviews and all kind of good stuff. So Mama Nia's got it going on. The Medu Bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and all kind of good stuff. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located east of Atlanta here in Lithonia. You take I-20 East, okay, exit 74, make a left, and there will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar about a mile down. Give them a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. And, of course, you can jump back on that street, Main Street, and now head south, make a left, still heading east. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, last night they had their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, Dare to Win. Every Thursday night, if you want to call to listen or call to give questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah's got it going on. He has everything at the place, I tell you. He has everything. He's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. from Tuesday through Sunday. He's located in 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. And you can give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. The Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located 4140 in Jonesboro Road, in Forest Park, Georgia. And it's inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-IET.org. Brothers and sisters, Sanjay-IET.org. SONJAYITI.org. Look at the good work that this sister is doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. The educational program, the health program, the sustainable agriculture, and the entrepreneurship. You know, they don't get any help. They rely on all of us to, and those young brothers and sisters need it, and they deserve it. They really do. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right. The Barutis, they got some good things coming up. Well, for right now I'm going to talk about Mama Marimba. And, of course, Mama Marimba, she has the 20th annual Abakasim. I won't be there, unfortunately, but it's the 13th from 1 to 7 and the 14th from 1 to 5. The location is going to be it's going to be at Twin Ponds, 3215 Bright Star Road, Douglasville, Georgia. Twin Ponds. Africans only. I love that. Rain or shine. Missions. Africans only. Okay? Don't be, you know, if you married to a snow bunny, you know, and you still want to be African, you know, don't bring her. That's for sure. And stop sleeping with the enemy, damn it. Located Twin Ponds, 3215 Bright Star Road. And that's a two-day affair, African spiritual warfare. That's what Abakasumsumsum means. Okay? African spiritual warfare. On the poster, it's got Dr. Clark, of course, Mamrimba making a call, and Thomas Sankara. Okay. And the Barutis, they have next week Saturday. Next week Saturday, the 6th, Baba Baruti kicks it off for the men's gathering quarterly. The men's quarterly. And it's Saturday, May 6th from noon to 2 p.m. The topic is reparations, the quotation for reparations. And of course, and for you to participate is $10, $5 for warriors in training. You can pay PayPal, Baruti at Yahoo, or you can pay Cash App, $YaMBaruti. Okay? And include information, reparations, your name, and your email address so you can get the link. Okay? And then later that day, from 4 to 6, Mama Inia, forgive, release, and live. Forgive, release, and live. The same thing quarterly. Make your donations, $10, $5 for teens. Include your print information, forgive, release, your name, your email address so you can be sent the link. All right, brothers and sisters. Also that day, that evening, in person, Dr. Baruti, along with others, at the Griot, which is 337 Dragon Place in Atlanta, at the Griot, the power, the great power of the African mind. The great power of the African mind. And it's $20 online and $25 at the door. $20 online, $25 at the door. That's going to be May 6th from 6 to 9. It's going to be powerful, man. I wish I would be here. Believe me, I'd be there. And June 3rd, I won't be there either because I'll be in New Orleans. It's the Abaka, it's the Institute's 9th annual Complementarity Conference, Ackerman Institute's 9th annual Complementarity Conference. African love is beautiful, Ashe. African love is beautiful. And that's going to be, you can get it online. Please register. And of course, $25. Oh, $30 a couple. $20 per person, $10 for teens, and make your donation, of course, couples, $35, singles for single, $20, 10 for teens. The PayPal, Baruti at Yahoo, Cash App, $ YaMBaruti, and include your pertinent information, complimentarity, your name, and your email address so you can get the link. That's going to be Saturday, June 3rd. And Ackerman Institute is a summer program. It's going to be starting June 19th, Juneteenth Day, through July 14th, June 19th. Give them a call. Give the Barutis a call at 404-753-7237 or email Mwalimu Baruti at Yahoo. For the summer program, and what it's going to cost and so forth. I'll be announcing again for sure on Monday, the summer program, what it's going to cost. And, of course, if you want the books by Baba Baruti, they're at AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com for the books that Baba Baruti produces. And he has a new one coming out. Of course he does. Brother's prolific. And, of course, I read the Inyasasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. And what is always interesting and deep and beautiful is that a lot of times what's going to be read, it's what's going to be said during the program. Huh? Yes, sir. All right. Before I go into Inyasasim, I'm going to do the Inyasasim, and then I'm going to talk about that, and then we'll go to the presentation. Yeah, let's do that. April 27, which is my birthday. Yesterday was my birthday, along with collaborator Scott King and Dr. Ishaka Musa Bereshango. I'm so proud to have a birthday with Ishaka Musa Bereshango. He's a bad man. Africa. See, we should be celebrating these damn Caucasian European holidays. That's Ishaka Musa Bereshango. Many of us are earnestly, April 27th. To go back to tradition is the first step forward. Repeat. To go back to tradition is the first step forward. That's why they have the Sankofa bird. In order for us to progress, we must go back. We must go back to move forward. Many of us are earnestly searching for our original selves. We have too long felt the discomfort of being in a place that pulls us against our spirit. We have discovered that to find our way, we must look deeply within to identify our true self at all times. Lying Western arrogance would have us believe that tradition is constraining, is outmoded, and especially for us, detrimental to our progress as humans evolving away from backwardness. Yet the bearers of the delusion of white supremacy have never even slightly abandoned their most ancient self-defining core, the Greeks, the Romans. Regardless of what they say, we should know that tradition knows no place or time. It finds sanctuary wherever its people are. No matter what else we may think we know, it is for certain that we are now and have always been and will always forever be our ancestors. Let me repeat that. No matter what else we think we know, it is for certain that we are now, have always been, and for always will forever be our ancestors. We should know that tradition is no more or less than all of the intellectual, mechanical, metaphysical, technological, which naturally maintains as a people as they have come to see themselves in the universe. It is a result of untold generations consciously working together to correct their errors and perfect those corrections. Tradition is the culmination of all that has been tried and proven true through the experience of a people. It defines that people's worth are in existence. Without tradition, a people cease to exist. Ashe. Affirm, I am my ancestors in every way. They are African. Affirm, I am my ancestors in every way. They were African. They weren't black. They weren't black family. They were African. They were African. They weren't black. April 28th. If they call you Negroid, then I should be able to call them mutinoids. We should come up with our own scientific terms unless the oppressed can't name the oppressor. I call them mutinoids. That's a scientific term. Baba Oshawa Kwesi. Oshawa Kwesi. We used to say Ofe, cracker, pale face, whitey, hunky, being stuck in a minority state of mind. seeing them as powerful, potentially benevolent humans without moral guidance from us, confused victims of a reactive frustration aggression. We now say ICE people, destroyers, psychopathic racists, born killers, Urugu, because we know the history of their spiritlessness, their acts of spirit side. We see freaks of nature. We know that history does not change a thing's essence. It reveals it. We learn simple lessons uncovered by our scholars, too many to name, and too many unnamed, who sacrifice all to reach back deep into others and our past to explain the present condition of our negation from the outside in. They study the genius, the genesis, and the evolution of the problem. Through them, we saw through the few bad apples to one corrupted, seedless core. We learn to see it as they, as them, not. We learn to see it as them, not him or her. Not the Klan or the World Health Organization, but the nation of shepherd kings of Greeks and Romans of old and new Europeans, of Caucasian beings. We now see our Urugu. We now see our mistakes as people of spirit, often too forgiving for our children's good. We try to measure them one by one. Then, when they're only one, that's right, they're all one. No, they've always wanted us to think individually. They're all one. Affirm, I name my oppressor for what they are. Affirm, I name my oppressor, our oppressors, for what they are. April 29th. Racial integration is the enemy of unity because it requires the integrating group to be assumed, weakened, and scattered as a minority in a society in which the majority rules. Racial integration is the enemy of unity because it requires the integrating group to be assumed, submissioned, weakened, and scattered as minorities in a society in which the majority rules. Dr. Claude Anderson. The majority of Africans are being subintegrated into European society because Europeans realize that at this time, little else can be done to those of us who are not being physically constrained or otherwise disposed of. When you are a power minority in a world which hates your very presence because it reveals its lies, yet you must somehow be incorporated because there are too many of you to ignore. You had better believe that your assimilation will be no better for your mind than your physical enslavement was for your body. While a few of you will receive the larger, more desirable crumbs and prefer seats at the fringes of privilege, as a people, you will be kept relatively powerless. However, propagated to embrace being subintegrated into a xenophobic, envious, projecting people whose naturally cannot tolerate real difference and who, if for no other reason other than this, are determined to genetically annihilate you, is to invite your removal from the physical existence. Recognizing this and knowing that power is innate, we must know that subintegration is a choice and the worst possible one for African people who want to remain whole. To demand to be incorporated into inferiority and therefore become inferior is not the mark of a self-loving people's wisdom, I say. Affirm, I have no inferiorizing aspirations. Affirm, I have no inferiorizing aspirations. No, I do not want to be inferior to Caucasians. Never have been inferior to Caucasians. That's why I don't want to never use the term white supremacy. I love Brother Paul. He gave me European, Caucasian European extremism, racism, and privilege. That's right. European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Racism is there because Caucasians created the idea and the very concept of race. There is no such thing as race. There's cultures. They created race. You can go look up Johann Blumenbach, Carol Linnaeus, and you can see in the 1400s, the 15th century, how they created this idea of race. Giving everyone a low position with us, with African people at the lowest position and themselves at the very top over all other people. So if there is evolution, then we were the lowest form of it. And through that evolutionary process, they evolved as the top of it. They're at the top position. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The European man. He ain't nothing nice, is he? No, he's not. Never has been, and of course, never will be. You know? Yep. So, we're going to talk today about color. You know, we're not black. We're Africans. We're not black. We're Africans. And a lot of times, we don't want to deal with that. In fact, a lot of us, we have gone through so, this Caucasian, this cracker has sent us through so many changes. So many changes, family. You know? Hate making us hate ourselves. Hate the way we look, our hair, our skin color, our lips. And it's always ironic that you know, you know, when we look like monkeys. No, y'all look like monkeys, them thin-ass lips, you know. I remember I used to work for this German who was in Milwaukee, who was an upholsterer. And his wife, she had these thin lips. So when she would go out, she would make some, she would paint a outline of a lip. It's just like the cartoons. They put a stamp in. Yeah. And you see them putting collagen in their lips so they can get full lips like ours. It's a damn shame. And yet we don't analyze, take a step back and analyze this madness. Look at the Caucasian for who and what they are. Except that we believe because of what they have been able to do. And what they, more importantly, what they have been able to do to us without being challenged. Because why? We lack unity. Yes, yes, Claude Anderson. Integration is an enemy to unity. And there's a lot of enemies to unity today. One of the things is who we are. We are not black. Black is a color. Dr. John Henry Clark told us, no, we're not black. Black is a color. There's no black land. No, I know we call it Kemet, the black land. That's just a description. And a people, the black people of the black land. But no, we are Africans. We're not black. And yet, for some of us who are old like me, over 70, and you can remember, to even be called black was bad. You didn't want to be called black. When I grew up in the 50s and in the 60s, all the way to the latter part of the 60s, when James Brown said it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. No, you didn't want to be called black. I ain't black. I'm a Negro. I'm colored. I ain't black. Because why? Caucasians, Europeans, whites. You can go, well, you can go online to find a lot of things, but one of the things that you can find is the Ozzie Davis, "The English language is my enemy." He pointed out has the English language is the word we use, where we get the word black and the word white. The English language. The English language is my enemy. The English language is my enemy. And so he said in that, they look at the word, Muhammad Ali used to do that in his presentations. Yeah, angel food cake, white, devil's food cake, dark chocolate, you know. And it's true. That's the constant thing that they've done to make black sullied and evil. The words for when you look at the word black and you look at the word white, pure, angelic, and so forth. I'm saying to you, family, it is there. Reject whatever the hell the cracker brings. Reject it. We are Africans. We are Africans. No. No. Scipio Africanus did not name Africa. Africa is not named after a Roman general who allegedly defeated Hannibal in Carthage. No. No. Africa is named after itself, Afer. My good brother, Renoka Rashidi, who's an ancestor, told us that. Dr. John Henry Clark, once again, told us that. The information is there, family. Please look. Please research. Afra. We're Africans. It's not even El Kabilon. It's Africa. Afrique. We have so much. And it's a hodgepodge. I would love for us to have a real ultimate conference. Not the thing that I went to last weekend, the State of the Black World. No, I don't want confusion. All of us at all these organizations come down and sit and discuss this to give us the direction for our people. This is a perilous damn time, family. These Caucasians are after, they want to eliminate us. They're talking about genocidal things that they're planning. Stuff to put in our food and our water. Stuff for us to inoculate ourselves with. If everything that happens with us should be done by us and in control of us. Everything. So we're going to talk about this today. And I'm adamant about it. Have been for a long time. Because we're not black. We're Africans. And I know some of us, you know, yeah, we we don't want to talk about it. But I do. I always do. This is brother. He's going to talk to us about, you know, that we are Africans. We are not black. We're not African American. And I've said this many times on this program again. We are Africans. Africa is a noun. A noun does what, family? Names person, place, or thing. A person, place, or thing. Black is like an adjective. It describes something. That's an adjective. It's not a noun. A noun, a person, place, or thing. Africa. What describes Africa? Or what describes you as an African? The word in front of it describes what kind of noun it is. If we're living here, right now, in America, we're American Africans. All of us around this damn planet, we're African. We're not Jamaican. We're not Cuban. We're not Bajan. We're not Barbadoan. We're Africans. That's the person, place, or thing. Now, if we live in Barbados, we're Barbadoan Africans. If we lived in Cuba, we're Cuban Africans. We lived in Brazil. We're Brazilian Africans. We lived in the UK. We're British Africans. We're French Africans. We lived on a continent. We live on a continent. We're Ghanaian Africans. We're Nigerian Africans. We're Cameroonian Africans. We're South Africans. We're Namibian Africans. We're Africans. Damn, y'all. Imagine if we stated that emphatically and, more importantly, believe it and we're willing to fight for that. So you can call me anything but African. Now, if you want to call me American African because I live in America, cool. I'm an American African. I'm a Mexican African. I'm a Colombian African. We're Africans. That's what we are. So let's get off into this particular piece. And it'll take us past the break, but then, you know, the break will be cool, and then we'll come back and have another piece. Yeah. Yeah. I tell you.
If one summer we want to speak about, you know, the collective power of black people, well, what are you talking about? Do you mean the collective power of African people? You mean pan-Africanism or pan-pan? Then say African. I don't understand why people are so wedded to the term black. And the justification for it is, well, it's because the European made it negative. It's the European's word. It was negative before it was applied to African people. It's like they're getting it backwards. It isn't that Europeans said, we're going to make this word black negative in order to accommodate our desire to devalue African people or dark-complexioned Asian people or dark-complexioned Native Americans. That's not how it worked. The word black, right, absence of light, if you will, was supposed to be understood by any English speaker as largely negative before it was applied to people of African or Asian ancestry. Dr. Akbar, the prominent African-American psychologist, often talks about one of our issues is that we have become, and we meaning people of the African world, whether it's the continent or more especially within the diaspora, so-called black folks, are very reactive rather than proactive, which means that if this individual is calling himself white, we're going to react and call ourselves black because we're the opposite. Not really understanding that we're not exactly taking a step in the right direction, because now, as I like to say, given all the linguistic and cultural baggage of black, you are trying to push an elephant uphill on roller skates. You're trying to turn a negative into a positive when there's a clean, pure stream nearby to draw from. If you're referring to complexion, in fact, there's a famous scene in the movie Cry Freedom about the life of Steve Biko. The presumption is that this event actually occurred. If it didn't, it still made sense in terms of the screenwriters and Richard Attenborough putting it into the film. And that is, Steve Biko was in court. He's charged with basically, you know, being seen as a threat to the apartheid system, and he was banned. So he's in court talking to the European judge, the Boer British judge, and the judge says to him,
why call yourselves black? I mean, you people are more brown than black.
And Biko says,
why do you call yourselves white? You people are more pink than white.
And the judge goes,
precisely.
But there's no deeper unpacking of what just occurred. And it raises an important question about
systems of oppression. Why did Europeans decide to designate themselves as white? More specifically, English-speaking Europeans, because the term white is an English term. When you know why they chose the term, then you know what they sought to gain by it. When you also see that they leveled the term black against us, Asiatics, Africans, Asians, then you know what they sought to gain by imposing that on us. But why the need to fixate on black? There's the work of a Harvard psychologist who I believe is of East Indian ancestry. Her name is Dr. Banaji. And her work on looking at the implicit association test, which is used by psychologists to look at implied bias or biases that exist, she recognizes what are often called mind bug, or she, in fact, she's calling the term mind bugs, which are culturally imposed perceptions of reality. And the dominant perception of reality for those of us who speak the English language is when you say black or use black, its dominant use is negative. Black magic, black knight, black death, right? And to try to overcome that is very difficult. Now, this is a Harvard faculty member, psychologist, prominent psychologist who's pointing this out, and she calls them the mind bugs. Now, part of what people can do, you could say, well, you need to get people to stop thinking of black as something negative. Okay, that's all right, but in the context of do you want to fight that battle, or more importantly, should you be fighting that battle? Because you're still reducing yourself again to your pigment. And you're not looking at yourself in the context of a larger history. And if you want to, like I said, if you want to speak of we as highly melanated people, or we as NUC, or we as I would say, people of predominant African ancestry, that makes more sense to me. I'm just saying. So when I looked at what Drew Ali was trying to convey, and did convey, obviously, to those who heard what he was saying, back in the early teens and 1920s in particular, that you are not black, you are not Negro, you are not colored. Just on a psychological level, I can see the value. I haven't even gotten into what the value and importance of what he was saying by having folks reject calling themselves Negro, black, or colored, because that's a whole nother issue. I just got into the psychology of it, right? That's why people, you know, confuse. I've often thought of this. You have a child reading about the Black Knight and the Black Death and the Black Plague, and then the child goes, oh, and I'm a black child. What Banaji and others, Eric Heyman, who's another social psychologist who's talks about this issue of implicit bias and its roots not in the individual mind. You know, part of the perspective on this is many psychologists are now trying to figure out why is it that police tend to shoot quote-unquote black men at the rates that they do. And is it because the individual police officer is overtly racist? And what some of this psychology is now suggesting is it may not be a sense of overt racism, but rather the culturally imposed racism, what people used to call national character, how nations see themselves as a result of their particular histories and experiences. So, like I said, Drew Ali, just in terms of saying you're not Negro, black, and colored, was getting people out from under that weight of the negativity associated with blackness. And for people who say, well, it's better, the same person would not allow you to call him a Negro. But with all due respect, Negro is the same thing as black. If I'm speaking Spanish, I'm going to call you Negro, right? So it doesn't make any sense. Yet, again, Moore is a reference to a people, to an empire that covered a geographical location. The Moorish Empire at one time was from the northwestern part of the Maghreb or North Africa all the way down to the Senegal River and as far east as the border of Egypt. That's part of what, and I'm just talking about what we know as the recognized Moorish Empire in terms of international and diplomatic history and relations. So we can say that covers a wide swath of the African continent. That would include Africans of various hues, people who would be darker in complexion and others who'd be lighter in complexion. And the primary sources from Duarte, Portuguese travelers, and Azrara, and English sources all affirm that the term Moor was used for people of African ancestry. Later, the term Blackamoor is introduced, but it's part of the development of the kind of pigmentocracy direction that exists. Within the English language, just as in other languages, there are different ways to translate something more accurately. So, and one of the examples I've often used is the difference in Spanish. If you're speaking of knowing someone versus knowing something, you don't use the same verb. Conocer and saber is not the same thing, right? One means to know a person. One means to know about something. By the same token, if you translate more to simply mean black, knowing that black in the English language is affiliated with so much negativity, long before it was ever referenced for people of African or, I dare say, Indian ancestry, because a lot of people seem to be under the impression that black was only used to refer to people of Africa. And that's not true. Black was, and in some cases, is still used to refer to people of Asia by Europeans. My first trip to England, and I was talking to people from Indonesia and Pakistan and Cambodia and different parts of Southeast Asia. And they were bringing to my attention how you can read articles in the paper, and this is in the early 90s, where they would talk about a black person doing something. Usually it might have been affiliated with some criminal act, unfortunately, which was part of their point at the time. But they were saying that the term was used to encompass them. And there was a debate between the younger generation of these people from Southeast Asia saying, well, we'll use the word black. I mean, people in the Americas have a black pride movement and, you know, there was black consciousness in South Africa. And then there were those who were elders who were averse to it. They didn't like it because they said, you don't want to be encapsulated simply in a color, because now the emphasis is simply on your color and not on your culture. So they said, well, they saw the value of, meaning the young people saw the value of trying to use a new hip kind of term, if you will. But the elders said no, because what that's doing is reducing your value, because in the English language, black is largely associated with a bunch of negativity. And just like Richard B. Moore said in his book from the 60s, the term or the word Negro, its origin and evil use, he made the same argument. Why you shouldn't use the term Negro? Well, guess what? Negro is Spanish for black. So folks went from Negro in Espanol to black in English, but it's still the same thing. And I literally mean thing. So defining yourself by an ethnicity or a nationality clearly would make more sense. And when the late, great political scientist Ali Mazrui, who was known for doing a series back in the 80s on Africa, he was Kenyan-born. He actually said, black people are the only group in the United States that is designated racially as opposed to geographically, right? Or nationally. And this is part of the problem, right? You have, and that's why I've said to people all the time, why don't we speak of yellow Americans, right? If we're going to use the color nomenclature, use it across the board. Just use it all the time. But someone will say, well, I'm Irish, I'm German, I'm black. And they're running through their lineage. And I'm going, all right, Germans come from Germany. The Irish come from Ireland. Black, what is that? At least, well, I don't, because, we don't know where we're from. You can at least say Africa. At least say Africa, right? At least say African. I'm part, I know I have some African ancestry. And now in this day and age, you can even do an ancestry.com test. And they can tell you, right, what part of Africa, what ethnic group or nation or so-called tribe one is from, right? So the value of not identifying with black is it compels you to be more specific in identifying culture, knowing your geographic origin, knowing your history.
Don't worry, you don't need to memorize everything from this chapter. You can click on the link in the description below and download the study notes for this chapter for free.
That's one part of it. We're going to be talking about another part of it. We're up against a break. We're going to take the break. And when we come back from the break, more discussion. And you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. Technical difficulty. And that seems to happen sometimes, doesn't it? Maybe we won't go to a break. And we'll just continue the conversation because it's not letting me do it. Man, I tell you, it seems like not a good day today some stuff was happening and so forth. So we're not going to go through the break. We're just going to continue on. I hope you understood what the brother was saying. And of course, it is about Africa. It is about Africa. He also used the word more. He quoted Noble Drew Ali. And the Moors. And of course, the Moors occupied Northern Africa and moved into Spain. Portugal and Spain, and ruled in Europe for 700 years. Many of the things that the Moors brought into Europe helped civilize Europe all the way into the time that Europeans gained confidence and understood that we may war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us, and we're going to dominate and take people's stuff. We're just going to take their shit. That's what they did. So Charlemagne and Martel and so many others, they came together and kicked the Moors out of Spain. 1492 was a deep year, not just for Columbus getting the commission from Ferdinand in Spain to take the ships and to sail around Africa into India for the
Spanish. You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi.
Oh, now
on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. It's all good. That's right. And it is on a Friday afternoon. It's all good. Hope it's all good where you are. If it's not, make it so. All right. We're talking today about We Are Not Black. And I've done this program, I've done this topic before. Once again, trying to consistently help us to understand that, help us to get rid of that. And I know, I had a discussion with Renoco again, where I use it interchangeably. And I'm saying, well, yeah, but let's stop. Just like we need to make a line and said, either you're in the house or you're out of the house. If you're in the house, this is the direction. We move into Africa. We're Africans. If you're out of the house, then you do what you're going to do. You know, that's the bottom line. We need either we Africans or not. And we are. We are. Land, history, and culture. You talk about a people, you must conjure up land, history, and culture. Now we're going to touch on the Moors. The Moors are, we were Africans all throughout the continent. And Islam came on the scene and swept across North Africa. And they're dominant today. And of course, Islam, unfortunately, Muslims, Arabs, and everybody else in that particular theology have treated Africans, some of them, very bad. Libya. When Muammar Gaddafi was in control of Libya, there was no better friend to so-called sub-Saharan Africa than Muammar Gaddafi, who knew he was African, who had supported African causes, and who had supported the Libyan people. But they had to kill him. They had to get rid of him. And that's one reason I will always have a deep disdain for Barack Obama, because he helped make that happen, along with the British and the French, the campaign they had that he was a madman and destroying his own people. None of that is true. The people that respected, admired, and loved Muammar Gaddafi for what he did for the people, using the oil wealth to benefit the people, to benefit families. So, we're not Moors. We're Africans. Moor, the same thing as black. So, here we go.
The earliest dictionaries, the Dutch dictionaries, and the English dictionaries, those are the two that I'm most familiar with. The term Moor or Moorens or Moores is used to refer to what we would say are so-called black people. What is more accurately, African people. Particularly African people of a darker olive complexion, but it can vary. In fact, when Leo Africanus, who was a Moor taken captive and then converted to Catholicism and then wrote a book about the history of the Moors, and he basically says the proper name for what people were calling Ethiopes or Ethiopians or so-called Negroes was Moor. ¶¶ That's why the word Moor is so pervasive in so many languages. French, it's Mure. As I already said, Germanic languages, it's Moor, M-O-H-R. And in part, people say it's because of the association with the Romans, the Latin Mores. But then the Greek preceded it, the Mavros, or Moros. But as I said already, its origins are most certainly in Africa. So it was an indigenous term. The reason why the transition occurs is because as the Moors lose power, those European forces that are taking over see the need to start to denigrate, and I use that word intentionally, and devalue the African person, the African woman and man in history, in order to justify the new conditions. The new conditions, and now Europe is in ascension. Plus, I dare say, it also has to do with what then emerges with something known as the law of nations, because theories around nationality and what that means and the law of nations and then treaties comes into play. So you have people of European Christian ancestry saying, we have to emphasize now our greatness by devaluing the African. That's a part of it. And not all, but I would venture to say most who are in positions of power start to adopt that view. Then the second thing that they do is they understand that since we're talking about nations and the law, if we recognize you as a nation under the sacred treaties, in fact, Emeric de Vittel, who was recognized as having talked about the law of nations and the sacredness of treaties, said nations should respect other nations. But if you create a situation where folks are under the law made into non-persons, then what you're doing is creating a condition for their legal oppression. Now, it ain't right. Don't get me wrong. It ain't right. I'm not just because people will try to say, well, but so you're saying the legal. I'm not saying that that doing that is justified, because it's still immoral. You're still oppressing and abusing a people. But what I'm explaining is how the law worked within that context. And to some extent, it even worked in African or Asian or Native American communities as well that had a similar attitude. If you're part of our nation, then we recognize the need to protect and defend you because you're part of our nation. If you're not, then you should try to either get, what we say, naturalized into it, because other nations have naturalized systems of naturalization, or you remain an outsider. So, under the law, personhood was expunged to justify the asiento from a group of nations that call themselves Christians and respecters of the law of nations and the sacredness of treaties. So, when you look at, like you said, something like the Bible, the earliest Bibles referencing Moor or Moorans, and then eventually coming down the Ethiopians or just black, it's because the Bible is reflecting the new reality, or I would say new confusion, of the people of that era. It's why the average quote-unquote black person on the people say on the street, if you ask the average sister or brother why they're not black, or why you don't, or why they shouldn't call themselves black, they would be lost unless they were willing to sit down and listen for a while to the rationale for where this comes from. Like I said, understanding systems of oppression is key to being able to resist oppression. If you don't understand what the motivation was for putting that into place in the first place, you don't know how to deal with it. Orlando Patterson, who's a sociologist also at Harvard, who talked about slavery and social death. And he actually, I met the brother at a conference in Germany, and I had just recently read one of his quotes where he said he actually got to a point where he refused to call quote unquote whites whites. He was calling them Euro-American, and he was referring to us, if you will, as Afro-American. And I asked him what happened. He said, I tried that for a while. I tried to get people to do it. He said, and man, the pushback was so great, he said, I just gave up. But the reason he did it was because he understood that the terms black and white were basically serving the agenda, if you will, of Eurocentric hegemony or so-called white supremacy. So he was essentially saying, you know, I recognize that was problematic and I tried to get people to stop using the term. I gave up. Right, because it's reinforced so much that Dr. Akbar also coins a phrase, pathological normalcy, right? And I think that this applies. This pathological normalcy, we see pathological behavior as normal because it's done by the majority. It's normative, so it becomes the standard. But so much of what's needed is a mental paradigm shift to that folk to really understand what's going on.
Yeah, we need a paradigm shift. We need a paradigm shift. Because this is, for us, not normal. And it has deleterious effects on us as a people, not just our minds, but our bodies. It is a part of the overall extermination of African people. We are Africans. We're not black. We're not Moors. We're Africans. And depending upon where you are, it's the kind of African that you are. But of course, the European has done a damn good job of sullying and making Africa detrimental, evil, dark, superstition, all kinds of stuff. Give us a call and join in this conversation. What do you think? I've been pushing this idea for many years and will continue to push it to the day I pass. Continue. Because we are African people. Give us a call. My brother. Brother Paul, how are you doing?
Baba Ochi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yes, I'm alive and kicking, but Baba Ochi, I'm
good.
You know, it's doing well. So, you know, every day I wake, I give thanks for life. So let's just give thanks for life and move forward.
Let's do it. I'm glad to be here. It's better to be here than
absolutely
not. Because you can do some things. If you're here, you can do some things. If you ain't here, you know.
Well, we must do some things. We must try and do a little bit better each day. And we must acknowledge the importance of life. We just got to give thanks for life. Because at any time, that life can be taken away from you, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it, man.
But you know, it's an interesting dialogue you're playing, and I know your feelings are around the word black. You know, Baba Ochi, that part you're playing, and the person says in it about Moors. Now, from what I understand, the word Moor comes from the Spanish,
right?
It means black.
Yeah.
And then what, again, in Chancellor Williams' book, he talks about the word Kemet, and he says that the European Egyptologists, as they call themselves, they translated the word Kemet to mean the black people. Chancellor Williams says that the word Kemet comes from the flooding of the Nile.
Okay.
He says that the silt at the bottom of the Nile would rise up, and the silt that's what was fertilizing the land, and it was black. So he says that that idea of black wasn't from the people, it was from the flooding of the land, meaning the black land.
Right. Okay? I've heard that as well, and I've mentioned that. And some would even further say it's the black people of the black land, you know, because they understood how important it was for the Nile to flood and then recede. And once it receded, it deposited black fertile earth along both sides of the banks. And that's when the people got together to do the agriculture, which was so important to do because you live on a desert. It was the only place outside where things could grow. So it was vitally important.
Absolutely. So, and another thing, from what I understand, the Arabs turned the word Kemet into Al-Kemet, of Kemet, Al-Kemet. Mm-hmm. And from the word Al-Kemet, you get the word alchemy. Now, alchemy, which is European.
Yes.
The word from the Asiatic word alchemet, you get the word alchemy, which the Europeans see alchemy,
right? And or chemistry.
Out of alchemy comes science.
Right.
Now, I heard him make reference to British, but this is what I know about what happens in Britain. If you, for instance, when we had a lot of IRA terrorist bombing, the highest threat, you would see signs outside buildings. They would put signs outside buildings and it would say black alert. And black alert, as far as I know in Britain, meant the highest alert. Now, you got to acknowledge what I'm saying. That's what they say. Mm. The highest alert is the black alert. So when he says, it makes negative reference, right? He needs to understand really what the English language is, because the English language is a bastard language. And
exactly.
Not only is it a bastard language, what it really means is that words can have many meanings.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to make you understand is they know, and the reason why I raised about Kemet, Al-Kemet, and alchemy, black magic, they absolutely know, for instance, in the fraternities, that black magic is the highest magic. They know that. But what they do, they convince the people that the black magic is negative. And that's
right.
For a reason. Let me tell you why they do that.
Right.
They do that because they do not want the people to understand the power of blackness. That is the reason why they do it.
Yes.
So when he says they use black as negative, he doesn't fully understand the English language. He doesn't. Because I know, if you go outside any building, when there's a terrorist thing, they put the highest order is black, whatever they put. And I know that's the highest threat. So, you know, we got to be more critical thinking than what we do. And let me explain this another way. When he talks about light, right? Things aren't created out of light. Light is a temporary body. Light is not a permanent body. It's a temporary body. The sun is temporary, but blackness is permanent. Blackness is infinity. The representation of blackness is no beginning and no end. So how can the light be more powerful than something which has no beginning, which has no end? And I don't think they recognize that because they're not critically thinking. When we see night, that is not it's not the sun where it's being created as a body. It is the natural order of things. That
right.
is the beginning and the end.
Right, because if you look at the universe, the universe is void of light, is darkness, and sometimes
absolutely.
What makes light divide is continuous.
They've got something called they're beginning to realize that in this blackness there is amazing power. What do they call it? They've got a name for it. But what I'm saying to you is that so we refer to ourselves, yes, okay, it's an English word, black. Okay, we recognize that, and it's used sometimes in negative quotations.
Exactly, and that's the point. The Europeans, particularly the British, who dominate the world, and the English language has been imposed upon others. In fact, English language, they say, is the language of business, and most people are imposed to, like what's happening now with China, to learn Mandarin Chinese. Well, first you had to learn English because that was the way things were done. And in that language, as Ozzie Davis said, is my enemy. This language is my enemy because what it has done with words is put deep negative connotations to it. Just as you said earlier, Brother Paul, that, you know, it wasn't like that, but it is like that today. It has been like that for some time, as long as the British and Europeans and Caucasians have been in control, that the word black, being not a noun, but an adjective, has deep negative connotations to it. And they continue that black magic, black this, black that. And the word white had the opposite of good, reverence, piety, you know.
What I want to say to you, Baba Ochi, is this, yeah? And from where I'm coming from, I think we as a people have to recognize and acknowledge, which I don't think we do enough of, our own power, right? We have to recognize that. And this is what I mean by this. We have the power to take something which has a negative quotation and turn it into a positive quotation. We have that power. Yes. And what I'm trying to explain to you is that in our power, what you pay attention to becomes not only your reality, you can then define that reality. And I think we lack that. We lack, because we use English, because we're so dominated by these people, we sometimes don't realize our own power, that what we can take this language and change it. And we do it all the time. There are many words in the English dictionary they didn't create. We created it, but they don't acknowledge it. And the point I'm trying to make is this, yeah? Where is our dictionary? And this is where we fall down. Where have we made our dictionary? We don't make our dictionary because we don't believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't believe in our power. And that is the real problem. Right. It's not that these words are negative or positive, because really in reality of life, you have to have both. But the truth of the matter is that we do not believe in our own power, or we don't acknowledge our own power. It matters not, in truth, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter to me whether they think it's like we talked about supremacy, yeah? They say white supremacy, and a lot of us follow that mantra, white supremacy. But in reality, those of us who are critical thinkers know they're not supreme in nothing, and we don't acknowledge that. Right. And we don't acknowledge that because we're taking back our own power. There's no way a critical thinker, someone with real intelligence, is going to call these people supremacists. No way.
Because they would absolutely
acknowledge that these people aren't supremacists. They have a system which they've managed to impose on us. And the reason why they've imposed that on us, part of it is because we've accepted it.
Right. Right.
Okay. We've accepted it, and that is where they and they've dumbed us down. And I'm sorry to say this, and I'm going to say it again. They have dumbed us down to the point where we accept their nonsense, and that's the problem. We have accepted so much. We've accepted Christianity. We've accepted Islam. All these things came as instruments of war. But today, they have so brutalized our mentality that we accept them like they're ours.
Yes.
It's crazy. And I'm not knocking anybody, because at the end of the day, I'm well past the point of arguing with anybody. If they want to accept it, I just let them accept it. But I know in my mind, they were brought in as instruments of war. And those instruments of war have suppressed people's minds to the point where they will argue and fight with you to the death to defend those instruments of war. So the reality is, we have to acknowledge our own power. We have the power to achieve anything.
Yes.
Unfortunately, some of us are too dumbed down to recognize that.
Yes, you're right. Because why? It is the mind. I would say all
minds.
The time, we are at war
exactly.
for the minds of our people. It's
exactly.
the minds. They have imposed.
Exactly.
They have imposed upon us what they have imposed upon us because they know that they can manipulate and control our minds. Once they took those chains off our physical bodies, they understood and worked hard to put those chains on our minds. The religion they imposed on us, the forms of government they imposed on us, the form of education they imposed on us—all these things were designed to capture the African mind, and to reject those of us like you and myself and many others who bring us the liberating knowledge to break those chains, to reject that, to fight hard against that. You know, I never forget when I was at this Super Bowl party and this sister said, listen, I don't want you to stay now. I don't want you to try to change my mind. You know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the truth. I can't handle it, you know. And that's a lot of our people.
But that's what I'm trying to say to you, Baba Ochi. And an example of that is what you could refer to that as the Matrix.
Yeah.
Their mind, you know, it's real, Baba Ochi. And it's so real. I mean, Baba Ochi, it's so real to the point where sometimes I listen to people and I sit there in astonishment how their minds have been captured. And it, you know, it's so real. So, look, you talk about it, the mind, you talk about it, you know, you refer to it, and it's so simple. But yet, they have managed to so capture our minds. It's frightening, Baba Ochi.
Yes.
And that is the problem. Because once, as you well know, once you capture a person's mind, you capture their actions. It's almost like you control them by remote control. And they don't even know they're being controlled by remote control. They have no idea. They're under such hypnosis that they don't know.
Right.
And they will argue. They will even fight. They will even be willing to die under that hypnosis for that indoctrination, for that that brainwashing. That's how deep it is.
Exactly. That's how deep it is. And
so at the end of the day, all I'm saying there, you know, what I'm saying there is that though it's for us to recognize and acknowledge that we have immense power. And if we didn't, and if I was wrong, Baba Ochi, for the genocide we've been through the rape, through the torture, through the murderous killing, millions of us were wiped out. If we didn't have power, we wouldn't be here today, because we know there are people, right, who have been wiped off this earth by these devils, totally annihilated. And that's their intention. Their intention is to wipe out their adversaries. But we do have power. But what they've managed to do now is control our minds. Okay. So our solution is getting back our righteous minds.
Right.
I mean, we can call ourselves what we want, but the reality of it is that once we have our righteous minds, they cannot beat us, and they know that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let me get some more calls, Paul. You stay with us, okay, dear brother? Thank you. 443-443, good afternoon. And, of course, family, you can hit star twice and join the conversation. 443, good afternoon.
Baba Ochi, this is Irv Lewis. How are you?
Is this my co-host for this Monday's program coming up?
And I've been practicing.
Yeah.
I was in the house going, good morning, African world. I was just practicing. But look, Baba Ochi, the conversation that Brother Paul spits out his mouth is amazing. He is spot on with what he's saying.
Yes.
And to add to what he's saying is the system of the system that we live under, which is run by people who identify themselves as white.
Yes.
And I say that because, and I say it over and over again, because I want people to understand that these people are not they. These people are not them. They are people who identify themselves as white people. The system is designed to be automatic. Anyone who speaks anything that goes against what white supremacy, racism, and white supremacy says, it automatically minimizes that person. We automatically put you on a radio network with only three people listen to. We automatically put you in a book that no one reads. We automatically put you on a station that no one watches. You're not going to be, because you're going against the status quo of the racist white supremacist who run this. Because both sides of the Democrat, Republican, or the liberal, or the conservative, they're the same people.
Yes.
They're brethren.
Yes.
And they got us, and they got black people. And I know black is a color, but I also know that Africa is in me. I am African. So, but they don't. They want you to believe that Africa is the dark continent. I didn't see no monkeys swinging from the trees when I was there. I didn't see no white man. I didn't see nobody walking around with a bone in their nose. Mm-hmm, I didn't see all that. Where was that at? Mm-hmm. I was. That's what it said on TV. It wasn't dark. It was, the sun was shining like nobody's business. So my point is, I'm not telling you what I read or what somebody told me. I went to see for myself.
Yeah.
I actually saw it with my eyes. So I don't need a white person to tell me about someplace they've never been. I saw it for myself. I interpreted these people as a people, as a proud people who have been colonized far beyond what we've been colonized.
Yeah.
Far beyond. They're still giving money to France. Are you serious? They're growing cashews and sending them to France, and France in turn sells them back to them.
Right.
And and all these people put up this thing when France had some terrorist action. Oh, that's gonna pray for France. You're gonna pray for France? Do you know the history of France?
France?
I don't need to know it. What I know that for? That's in a book. What am I reading a book for? But no, but we have, and this brother, and Brother Paul was right on point with what he was saying. The word games, the semantics, all the trickery that's played by people who identify themselves as white. Oh, you're black, you're colored, you're Negro, niggas. All these are distractions. All these to keep you off your balance, so that you don't see that these white people are. When they did even have something called Ebonics, which was starting to bring black people together around something. They quickly said, oh, that's terrible. You don't want to talk like that. We got to speak the king's English. You can't have your own language. What do you think you're? What do you think you're, Mexican? You can't have your own language. What are you, Ukrainian? How are you going to have your own language, brother? You got to speak the king. You got to speak English, even though you've never been to England. Okay? Mm-hmm. So stop. And you don't even know where you're from in Africa. Well, I don't know where I'm from in America. Okay? Because when I got off the ship, my ancestors got off the ship, they were separated. So don't tell me you know where you from. I'm from the East. I gave my DNA. Who you give your DNA to? I gave it to DNA.com. Well, who the hell is that? You don't know. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. I'm going to give him one of my toenails tomorrow so I can see, you know. Come on, Ocean. We could go on and on with this. But the reality is, as long as we keep talking about it, as long as we keep repetition is learning.
Right.
Repetition.
Yeah. That's why I said that I will continue to do this. I'll continue to talk about this. I'll continue to state that Africa, not black, not anything, not more Africa. Africa is the noun. It describes a person, place, or thing. There's a word that goes in front of Africa to describes what kind of African you are. We're American Africans. If we lived in the Caribbean, we'd be Caribbean Africans, Jamaican, Cuban Africans. If we lived on the continent, we would be Nigerian Africans, Ghanaian Africans, you know, Senegalese Africans, whatever. Africa is the noun. It is our foundation. It is our lifeblood. It is who we are. And Africa is not a word that has been imposed upon us by the Greeks or the Romans, Scipio Africanus. No, Africa is a part of Afer and Afrique. It is indigenous to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but let me take another call, man, so I can continue on, okay?
All right. Thank you.
414-414.
Hey, Brother Osi.
Hey, Brother LaRue. LaRue Ned. What's up?
All righty. Hey, all man. Right. Brother Paul was on it. He was dead on it.
Yeah.
But let me say this about language and words. Words are only symbols. And no matter what language you speak, that word represents something. So that word is a symbol. And so the word black is also symbolic of that is associated with African people. It's not necessarily a description, but it is a symbol that represents African people, some African people. Okay, anyway, so depending on the context that you're using the word in, that word can be positive or negative, depending on the context. But whatever terms we use, and whatever beliefs we use, we should use those, they should connect us to our mental and spiritual origins.
But black that's doesn't do that. That's the problem. Black doesn't do that. The color black.
You use it as a descriptive word.
You know.
But if you use it as a symbol, that's why I like to use it. I like to use both of them together, black and African.
Yeah.
Because everything that comes out of Africa is not black. So it's only a symbol that represents something. It's not a descriptive word. So no matter what language you're using, then that's what we got to do. Is we have to understand that that's where the confusion in language comes in, because if a person uses one word, another person might have a different interpretation of that word.
Yeah.
Now they start arguing without even understanding that they're using two different definitions for the same word.
But see, that's the thing. That's the thing, LaRue. I'm trying to end the confusion, because the word itself, black, it is not ours. It's a word that the British used or the English used. And the negative connotations of that. Yes, we can take that word and make hell, just like the word nigger or
right.
Nigger. Many of us, we even made an acronym out of it. Nigger, never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. Well, that was kind of cool. But to me, if we're not getting any goddamn goals accomplished, we ain't doing nothing, you know, because if we were, I'd be like nigger. But no, we're not. The word itself is whack, but yet we use it.
The thing is, and the problem is that mm-hmm. we're still dependent on this European to educate us, and then through that education, certain words are given certain definitions and associations.
Yes, because they're his words, and he defines them. We can flip the script.
We interpret them.
Right.
We interpret them.
We can do that, but it doesn't have the grip, because why? We don't have our right minds. If we interpret it and we all agree of this new interpretation of a word that has been heaped upon us that had negative connotations, and we flip the script on that, that's one thing. But that's not the issue, because if our minds are not right.
And that's a fact. I mean, but whose mind is right? Not even the European mind is right.
Oh, no, his mind is whack. You're right.
So it would appear. But, hey, I was talking to some brothers in the hood, man, and I said, you know, we're Africans. The dude I was talking to looked more like an African than most Africans. He got upset.
Yes.
I'm not no African.
Right.
So it depends on, because his definition of African was different from my definition of African.
It was, LaRue, it's the same thing it was back in the 50s and 60s before being black was black and proud. I ain't black. I'm a Negro. I'm colored. I ain't black. You know?
I'm with you. I remember back in the days, in the 60s, one of the worst things that a person could ever call you was a black dog. And the word black was worse than the word dog.
Mm-hmm.
Now we call, what's up, dog?
Yeah. Yeah. So, see?
So what's important is that we make sure that we're using the same definition when we're using words.
Yeah.
What do you mean by black? What do I mean by black?
Right.
And if we can find some kind of a way to say, okay, I understand you understand me, that's what we need to be able to do.
Right on. Well, listen, I'm going to take another couple of calls. I'm up against the time frame, as you know. So I appreciate you. Just hold on, Brother LaRue. Thank you, man.
Okay.
646-646, good afternoon.
What's happening, Brother Oshi? Listen, it just boils down to, are you able and can you define your reality? Because a white man could say and classify you as anything. The bottom line is, collectively as a people, what will you submit to?
Mm-hmm.
What will you identify yourself as?
Right.
And unfortunately, we haven't gotten to that point to where we've collectively tried to figure out how do we define ourselves.
Because why?
When we get to that point, then we'll be in a better position. But you can't have your oppressor define you. I mean, that's why you took away your language in the beginning.
Right.
You know, that's why he didn't want you to communicate. And we showed our greatness by being to communicate in other ways. I mean, the bottom line is you have to be able to define yourself. If you don't define yourself, then somebody else will define you.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know? That's the thing. That's the thing, dear brother Jay, is that who defines reality? For a Caucasian, he defined reality. He has power. Power is the ability to define reality and then have others accept your definition as if it's their own. We have been accepting the Europeans' definition against our very nature, against our very right minds. We need to have power. We need to shape and fashion the images in our interest and for us. This is the reality that we need to deal with.
How do you get power is the question that we don't seem to understand. How do you get power? That's our problem. The bottom line is you have to take and die for power. That's the only way you can get it. You can't get it by discussion or anything like that. No, man, it don't work like that. But listen, I wanted to ask you something right quick. You said you was at that conference last weekend, man. How was it? Was it of any value, or was it just the regular bullshit?
That might be that category. Because,
okay, so
you know,
bullshit.
You know, because I feel there's so much more that could have come out of it. But, you know, Brother Ron Daniels, he has this thing. And once again, it shouldn't even be state of the black world. It should be the state of the African world and other organizations and entities across the country, across this, across the planet, across the earth, across different countries should have came to deal with it.
Oh, the bottom line is this. With people like Ron Daniels, they really need to just sit their ass down and let young people come in and move us forward. Their time is past, to be honest with you. They don't have no real new ideas, new ways to create certain things. They just go along with the same script that they've been following for the last 50-some years. I mean, that's why I don't listen to them. You know what I mean? I mean, be honest. Yeah. What new creative ideas is he coming up? It's a younger man's game now to come up with that, and for them to give eldership.
You know what, Jay? I've been to other State of the Black World conferences. They're held every 4 years, whatever. And the first one I was at was in Atlanta. Then I was at the one in New Orleans right after Katrina. So, you know, Katrina was a while ago, wasn't it? Exactly. So I'm saying, and it seemed to be the same thing. It was held the same way, the same model. And for the registration fee, all I got was a program booklet and a paper bag. You know.
And what you said, a program booklet and what else?
A paper bag.
A paper bag with
Welcome to Baltimore on it.
And how much was the registration fee?
$250.
How much?
$250.
Oh, you were robbed. That's called grandiosity.
You know.
That was grandiosity. And I guess his reason for charging that is because he needs that money to continue what he's doing.
I don't know.
That right there is a joke. But listen, the beautiful thing is you got that type of money to pay for it, man. So all good. Baby.
All right, Jay. Jay, you have a good weekend.
You too, bro.
All right, my brother. Peace to you. Have a good weekend.
My brother.
Sister Nabantu, Mama Nabantu, good afternoon. How you doing, Mama Nabantu?
I don't know. You remember Messina, right?
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Mama Nabantu, go ahead, dear.
I have a question.
Sure.
And maybe it's already been answered. I'm multitasking here. When folks say they're African, I think about those
white folks and Indians and Indonesians and folks that have been there 60-something plus years calling themselves African.
Right.
How do we do that? Because they'll say, I'm African too.
Right. But, you know, the thing is, black African? Right. No, you're African. You're African. How did you get here? How deeply are you indigenous to Africa? If you got here in the 1800s and you've been there since the 1800s, you ain't African. If you got there in the 700s and you've been there, but you came from India, you came from other places, you're not African. You're not indigenous to Africa, and nor have you done anything to benefit Africa. You came in and you exploited. You came in and you took. You came in and to take advantage of the landscape, take advantage of the beauty, take advantage of the resources. No, you're not African. And I know damn well your ass wouldn't fight for Africa. For Africa. Yes. Now you'll fight. Hold on, let me finish. You'll fight to keep what you stole, such as the Afrikaners in Southern Africa, the Namibian, you know, the Germans in what is now called Namibia or Southwest Africa. You'll do that. Just like the British, the British came in Southern Africa to take the gold and the resources. And of course, that asshole who created the scholarship. What is his name? Why is his name escaping me? That's part of getting old. My birthday was yesterday, Mama Nabantu.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Yeah.
You know. You and Jamoke have the same birthday?
Jamoke's birthday was yesterday?
I believe so.
Oh, right on. I didn't know that. Right on. That's cool. I know I know Dr. Barishan Go's birthday was yesterday as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Coretta Scott King. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I'm speaking, what I was speaking of was Cecil Rhodes. And what Cecil Rhodes arrogantly said, what he arrogantly said, I know what God would want me to do is turn as much of Africa British red as possible. He felt he was ordained by God to take the land and take the resources and then create a scholarship called the Rhodes Scholar that everybody thinks is so prestigious because you get a chance to go to Cambridge or Oxford or whatever to use the money that he's established a scholarship with. And you have Africans in America, Africans in other places taking this scholarship. Damn it. This is tantamount to a European Jew accepting a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler. Do you think that would happen? Hell no. But yet, it happens, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it gets confusing when we talk about who will be citizens in the United African States.
Yeah.
And I'm African, so.
No, uh-uh. We got to define that in serious terms, because just because somebody came into Africa a year ago, hundreds of years ago, whatever, they're not African. So I got to go.
Okay.
All right, Mama Nabantu. Thank you, dear.
All right. Good show.
All right. Thank you. Peace. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep, that means go in peace. Isante Sana, that means thank you. Abibi Fahodie is our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a wonderful weekend, family. See you on Monday.